The following pre-recorded program is sponsored by Commonwealth Golf Group.
This is Tony Leodora, and I know all golfers are looking for more power. But when the power of a violent storm disrupts electric service to your home or business, it's time to look to the power of a Honda generator. And our friends at NARS Sales Company can deliver the best prices and best service on reliable Honda generators.
These portable gas-powered generators all have Honda's legendary four-stroke commercial-grade engines. Honda engines have long been recognized as the industry leader in providing reliable, quiet, and fuel-efficient power and come with a three-year limited warranty. NARS Sales Company offers the full line of rugged Honda generators from 1,000 watts all the way up to 10,000 watts available for sale and select models for rent. For construction companies, NARS Sales Company offers the full line of Honda dewatering and construction pumps, also available for sale or rent. Visit NARS Sales Company in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania, or Sicklerville, New Jersey. Also visit NARSSales.com or call 800-457-RENT.
Welcome to Golf Talk Live. This award-winning weekly radio program provides you with all the information you need about private and public golf courses, special features, and interviews with the men and women, both players and executives, who impact golf across the tri-state region and the country. Today's program is sponsored by NARS Sales Company, the one-stop shop for all of your contractors' equipment rentals, sales tools, and safety supplies for your project. Visit them at NARSSales.com. And in part by Black Cat Cigar Company, world famous and available at Germantown Pike in East Narton. And by Kutztown Auto, Eastern Pennsylvania's Cadillac, Buick, and GMC dealer. Mainland Golf Club and Bella Vista Golf Club, Montgomery County's complete golf experience. By Destination Montco Golf, promoting the game in Pennsylvania's golf capital. The Sheraton Atlantic City, the perfect hotel for business or fun. By Ravensclaw Golf Club, Montgomery County's top-ranked daily fee course, hosting the business leaders of the golf world for the 30th International Network of Golf Spring Conference. And by Westover Country Club, 50 years and still your golf and event leader. And now, here are your hosts, Alan DePew and Tony Leodora.
Welcome to Golf Talk Live. I am Alan DePew. A very special show today, and I am in the studio, and I am joined by Eddie Chiesa.
Good morning, Alan.
And keeping us on the air behind the glass, Walt Cooper. And on assignment once again down in Florida, the man, the myth, the legend. I got to hit the button one more time here, Eddie. There he is, Tony Leodora.
I like that new addition of the sound effect. I hope everyone had a very, very Merry Christmas. And yes, a very special edition of Golf Talk Live this week. I think that time for reflection at the end of the year, but also time for reflection at the end of an era.
Yeah.
13 3/4 years ago, 2006, March of 2006, this Golf Talk Live exodus began, and it will be continuing in 2021, different platform. For the last 13 3/4 years, it was a radio broadcast here on WNTP 990, The Answer, and our affiliate stations, including WOND and Atlantic City in South Jersey, and it has been a pretty amazing exodus, Alan. I can say that.
Tony, it is that it has been. As we've shared earlier this summer, I think I met you in almost the first year when I was operating Hickory Valley out in Gilbertsville, and you and the man Eddie Chiesa strolled up, and we did a little remote broadcast there.
Yeah, and it has it turned out to be a great relationship that has evolved into our partnership and co-hosting of the Golf Talk Live for this last year, and that's been a blast. And you've added new energy, and along with your son Andrew, putting together podcasts and expanding the entire reach of Golf Talk Live. And while we look forward to greater things in 2021, be hard not to be greater than 2020, the year from hell.
Can only go up from there, Tony.
Right.
Yeah. However, let's get this show started. We put together a very special edition here of the greatest interviews, some of the greatest interviews. You could never fit them all in one show, but some of the greatest interviews on Golf Talk Live. And I want to start with this one right here to remind everyone that there was a time not very long ago that things weren't as bleak as they seem in 2020. In 2018, the BMW Championship came to Aronimink Golf Club, and on Pro-Am Day, I watched the pro, John Rahm, come up with his amateur partner, none other than Villanova head basketball coach Jay Wright, fresh off his second NCAA championship in 3 years. And we caught up with him, and he reminded us, or he reminds us now, that things weren't as bleak as they seem in 2020. Let's hear that.
I'm with you, Tony. And you can just look at this week, you know, as you said, you know, the Phillies in the hunt, Eagles open up, and the BMW here this weekend in the finals, the whole golf world's watching Philadelphia right now. It's a great time at Philadelphia sports. Sixers, everyone's excited about, you know, Flyers, and we've had some tough times in Philly, you know, but, and the beauty of Philadelphia fans is we stay strong, stay passionate, always believing we're going to do it, and always crying when we don't, but it is a great sports town, and this is a good time.
Well, that was Jay Wright talking about what a great town Philadelphia was, and that was only 2 years ago, folks. I think it was pretty special. And then he added a capper to the entire thing with this next little clip.
It's good for people that live here. You can see you can just see a pride in the city, you know. And as you know, it's good. It's good for business. People love coming to town. And
yeah. Well, Tony.
Yeah.
Eddie's a lifelong Philadelphian like yourself, so you are correct. I mean, Jay Wright, a couple years ago, hit it on the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eddie, do you remember those days when there was pride in the town and people loved coming here for business and vacation?
Yeah, that was before... That was before all excrement hit the fan, for sure. That was definitely a different time.
I think all right.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good perspective, like I said, when we had a pro golf tournament here, the BMW Championship, part of the FedEx Cup. And, well, I guess, speaking of the pro golf tournaments, Eddie, why don't you take it away?
Yep, so we have our final pro golf report, but... That means our listeners get a lot of savings. Most wonderful time of the year. Still going on. Kutztown Auto and their sister store, Turnpike Chevrolet in Morgantown. Season's best sales event brings back employee pricing on new Buick or GMC vehicles at Kutztown Auto and Chevrolet vehicles at Turnpike Chevrolet. Save up to $10,000. Wow. Or get 0% financing on most models. Ho, ho, ho. Save some dough at Kutztown Auto and Turnpike Chevrolet. They're both closer than you think, and they bring us our Pro Golf Report.
Ho, ho, ho. Tony, I got a question for you. Can the media blow up Charlie Woods' intro to the golf world any more than they did this past week?
Are you talking about the father and son? I thought that the whole story of the father and son tournament was Justin Thomas and his father winning it. You're saying there was something else they're concentrating on?
There, people may have focused on the team that finished outside the top three.
Yeah, I guess so. But it was entertainment, and, you know, I think I said last week, too, W.C. Fields said you never want to share the stage with children or dogs because they're going to steal the spotlight, and that's what happened in this show. Yeah, it was entertaining, to say the least. I do want to get to one other thing. Of course, this is vacation week, so all the tours are off. But one other bit of news, the Philadelphia Section PGA announced their awards for the year, and there are a number of them, but the main one, the top one, is PGA Golf Professional of the Year, and that went to Dean Campbell, the head pro at St. David's Golf Club, and a special congrats to Dean and, of course, all the other award winners brought to us by our Philadelphia Section PGA, so that was pretty cool.
Oh.
And talking about the PGA Tour, Alan, you did a great job this year bringing us inside the PGA Tour. Tell us about it.
Let's actually hop over to Chip Beck.
Yeah.
He actually joined us for the Masters.
I was reading where, you know, Booker Roberts said that when they were designing that, when they were excavating the 12th green, they found an Indian burial ground. I thought, oh my God. No wonder that place is so spooky. And it has so many strange winds knocking the ball down, and you don't know what you're going to get. It's pretty funny.
Good stuff there. He also went on to mention the ninth hole.
For the first couple of years I played, it just rained all week. And I would hit a shot, like I could hit something from the bottom of the hill there into nine. It would hit on the back of the green, like an inch off the green, and it would spin all the way off the front. You know, I'm talking about 40 yards off the front, and then come right off the front of the green another 40 yards. I thought it was the hardest golf course I'd ever seen. And as a matter of fact, I stood there in my third attempt, and the wind and the balls just coming off the greens, and I thought, I remember reading, I told my caddy, I said, I remember reading when the flag was tucked in the second tier of the ninth green to the left, Hogan would play it 10 feet left of the flag, and it would stay there. And I said, well, I said, Dave, let's try it. My caddy, Dave Woosley. So I thought I hit a perfect shot. And honestly and truly, I said, I think it stopped. You couldn't see the ball, but it must have been 3 minutes later, that ball comes rolling around the bunker, spins down and around the bunker, and I'm 40 yards short of the green again. I'm thinking, oh man, this is the toughest thing I've ever seen.
Donnie, I don't know about you, but I'm usually 40 yards short of the green before it gets on the green.
Yeah, I know that one way too well, unfortunately. That was great. Great inside information from Chip Beck on what it's like to play at the Masters and on Augusta National. And, you know, those kind of little inside stories are what have made Golf Talk Live a success over the years.
Having played professional golf myself, it was a discussion regarding Wingfoot and how tough the golf course was playing. And Kyle referenced a point, and this is to your point, Tony, that inside information, and Kyle's comment was that players were aiming to miss it in fairway bunkers than to hit it in the rough because they figured it was about a quarter stroke penalty as opposed to a half a stroke penalty. And that really gives a perspective to the listeners about how difficult that Wingfoot was actually playing. I don't care what Bryson ended up doing and distancing himself and winning the tournament, but for the entire field, that golf course was a challenge.
Well, folks, that is a great little look inside PGA Tour. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, in this next segment, both Eddie and Alan are going to give us a look at the business side of golf. A lot of people forget that golf is a lot more than just a game or kicking a ball around the field. It is an enormous industry, and we've got a real good look at the business side of golf coming up on Golf Talk Live, this special year-end show recapping some of the greatest interviews ever done on this, the number one golf radio show in America.
You only have one opportunity to sell your golf property. Shouldn't you partner with an expert that offers you 30-plus years of golf industry experience combined with the reach of a global leader in real estate? Colliers International Golf Brokerage and Advisory Services understands your unique business needs. Whether it is brokerage, management, and consulting, be reassured that the market leader in the business of golf is providing you the real answers and practical solutions you deserve. Contact Golf Talk Live co-host and Colliers Golf Advisory Services member Alan DePue today at 717-554-8519. That's 717-554-8519.
Hi, everybody. This is Tommy Lasorda. You're listening to Golf Talk Live.
And we are back on Golf Talk Live in the studios, reflecting on the year. Tony, we also talked about the business of golf.
We talk about it a lot. It was really affected in 2020 in a couple of a very negative way for a while, and then positively at the end of the year. And you and Eddie have a good handle on that.
Yeah, so Tony, over the years, obviously, we've had many products that have come onto the golf scene in the worst of times for the game of golf. You allude to it all the time in the, you know, that the 90s, there was a big boom. They were building golf courses. There was just a surge in players. People saw Tiger Woods, you know, being incredible. And then they took up the game of golf and bought a lot of stuff. Well, that didn't happen in the 2010s. And, you know, both you and Alan say it didn't happen in the, it started in the early 2000s. So it's very interesting for me to start producing this show in 2008. We were at a time where golf products were becoming very, like, there was almost a cycle to equipment, and people were getting tired of it. There was no real, like, innovation. You know, you just see the latest commercial for all the big companies. So I wanted to highlight some of the things that, you know, Tony, when you and I worked together beginning in 2013, I was full-time in the golf business, that came across my plate that I thought were unbelievable and completely went against the grain of the negativity of the early 2000s and the early 2010s. First up was NextBelt. And I never... One of the jokes you always made was, you know, where's your belt? Where's your belt? Every time I showed up to the golf course, I'm like, well, I don't need a belt. You know, like, my gut's holding my shorts up. My gut's holding my pants up. We're good. So I hated wearing a belt. And then that first PGA show, it's like, all right, well, you got to wear a belt. It's like, okay. So not only was I introduced to the good folks at NextBelt in a very early period for their company, but I had no idea the impact they were going to have on the golf business, in that golf professionals they no longer needed to buy these bloated inventories of all these different major brands of belts. You know, you have to get your size in. And my favorite thing of all, this quarter-inch ratchet system. I had never...
Yeah, the belt with no holes, right?
Right. So it was, you know, I didn't have to worry about wearing out belt loopholes whenever I, you know, got fatter or got skinnier or anything like that. And I did truly see, especially, I've just named names, specifically at Blue Belt Country Club and their pro shop. I'll never forget that first, you know, experience with them. So NextBelt, I love you, against the grain in the golf business, and they've only grown now. I don't even know if I could get on the phone with their CEO right now. They're so big. Personal.
Oh, you could.
Okay. My personal game, a club that changed my life, was the initial high heat driver from Knuth Golf. Dean Knuth, obviously the inventor of the slope system for the USGA. Slope and rating system, but also Steve Trattner, who really pushed this forward. And Tony, to your credit, I mean, you were saying that this is the club for the amateur golfer, so not only have they expanded upon high heat over the years, but they did it again in this period that was really, really bad for the golf economy. You know, we went to the PGA show and just sat through these funerals about, you know, rounds and play all the way down, and who was there? Knuth Golf, high heat, and they were pushing not only their driver, but anyway, it's just that those clubs have changed my game forever. And then we saw this product from its infancy, Volvic, when they first burst onto the scene. It was like, okay, cool, colored golf balls. I guess this will be a hit on the LPGA Tour, right? And then it wasn't. Then we started seeing our friends and family play with these golf balls. Like, no, the quality of the golf ball is great. And I actually was able to speak with Wes Whittingham from Volvic this year about golf equipment, and I think this is very relevant.
We're going through a pandemic currently here in August. Have you seen any difference pre-COVID to now in the public's reception to these Marvel Volvic golf balls?
Oh, absolutely. Not only is our traffic on our own website, Volvic.com, gone absolutely through the roof, and all of our e-com partners as well. But both the brick and mortar business that we have with these characters is just out of sight. And the wonderful thing about what's happened really within the golf industry, and unfortunately it took a pandemic to do it, but we're seeing so many more players out at the golf course. We're seeing so many new faces at the golf course. It's almost impossible to book a tee time anymore. It reminds me of Back to the Future, so to speak, into the 90s. This is a period of time where if you're not making a tee time by Monday or Tuesday at your local golf course, you're probably not going to get a timeout for the weekend.
So that I think brought it home for the business of golf in 2020, guys.
Yeah, without question. Tony, but the business, let me step in for a second. Obviously, as an operator, I've seen this. I was with a big company back in the late 90s. We were buying golf courses left and right. I've seen the downside of the golf business when the bubble burst in 07, and now I'm seeing the resurgence, as Wes pointed out, a pandemic. But there's such a changing dynamic, I'm sure you've seen, even at the course level, yourself.
Yeah, no question. Things have changed greatly. And you've talked to some of the leaders in the business, too.
I did. Earlier this spring, I was able to catch up with Peter Nanula, who is the chairman of Concert Golf. They own a couple of courses here in the Philadelphia market, 22 overall. And here's what he had to say about the changing dynamics of the private industry.
I really like the new little three-hole loop that's being created over there, which and you touched on simulators. It's a changing dynamic for private country clubs in general.
Exactly. Those are the kind of things that members told us at Philmont and other clubs we go to, that those are things they want a shorter experience if they wanted to stop out there for an hour. So that three-hole course we think is going to be really great. They want indoor simulators so they can practice, or you know, even if they're not so hardcore about the practicing, just go in there and have some beers and, you know, have a golf sort of an experience with your friends. The simulator has just been a no-brainer at all of our clubs.
Right.
So, we're trying to respond to what Philmont members have been wanting there for years.
So just to see from the beginning of Golf Talk Live in 2006, and Tony, all the stories you've done over the years, especially on the business of golf, to hear from people like that at the top level, to see such a dip in the performance of golf and the participation in the business of golf for so many years, and then to see this kind of bounce back in probably the worst year on record is just incredible. So, I mean, to close out the business of golf conversation, I'm so happy that we are here. The simulators, all the innovative products, no tee times to be had at local golf courses. It's been awesome. And I think...
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be going through some of the great memories of Golf Talk Live over the years with interviews you don't want to miss right here on Golf Talk Live, your number one golf radio show in America.
You only have one opportunity to sell your golf property. Shouldn't you partner with an expert that offers you 30-plus years of golf industry experience combined with the reach of a global leader in real estate? Colliers International Golf Brokerage and Advisory Services understands your unique business needs, whether it is brokerage, management, and consulting. Be reassured that the market leader in the business of golf is providing you the real answers and practical solutions you deserve. Contact Golf Talk Live co-host and Colliers Golf Advisory Services member Alan DePew today at 717-554-8519. That's 717-554-8519.
Now back to Golf Talk Live.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Gary Player.
You're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Thank you, Gary.
And you're listening to the special year-end show. Tony Leodora recording in from Florida. Alan DePew, Eddie Caiazzo in the studio, and it's time for some of our greatest memories. And, Alan, we gave Eddie first shot at what interview he remembered best, so how about if we hand it over to him?
I agree.
Well, Tony, there were some big commemorations in Pennsylvania, Arnie's home state. And, of course, you were the one to interview him about it. So we are going to run through a rapid fire here, him talking about the area. First up, Arnie remembers Philadelphia.
I remember Philadelphia very well, and I'm very fond of Philadelphia. And, of course, over the years, I've had an opportunity to play a lot of golf in Philadelphia and around Philadelphia.
Yep. And then he remembers a place right down the street from here.
I won the Philadelphia tournament there that year, and as I recall, it was my seventh win of the year, and I enjoyed it. It was fun. I enjoyed White Marsh very much through the years. It was great fun, and playing in that tournament.
Legendary White Marsh Valley there. That's what he was talking about. And right on the main line, I think that's considered the main line, he remembers that as well.
I played my first PGA championship at Lanark. And that was 50 years ago, and they're the anniversary this year. And my good friend and buddy, and today, Dal Finsterwald, won that championship, which was, and I remember the Hebert brothers and Besselink and all the guys that were there, and it was fun.
And last one, in the burbs.
The Philadelphia area is something that I am extremely pleased about, and the fact that I built a few golf courses around that area. One that I think is getting some renown publicity as one of the toughest golf courses, the National. And
Commonwealth National, it sure is tough. It turned into a great course.
Well, that's great.
All right, so there you go. Rapid fire Arnie talking about his work in the Philadelphia area, both as a player and an architect.
All right, there you go, Eddie. Thank you. I call him Mr. Palmer, but if you want to call him Arnie.
Well, you got to interview him face-to-face. I only got to see pictures, so I'll call him Arnie.
All right.
Or the
kid. That was from 2008, and we did the interview right at Latrobe Country Club. It was in preparation for the 50th anniversary of the PGA Championship, which was held at Liner Country Club. We also did a big video that they ran during a special commemorative night there, and it was pretty cool. And the capper for that day, after doing that interview with Arnie, it was a beautiful June day, and he looked across at me and he said, "Tony, it's way too nice of a day for you to work all day long. You feel like playing a little golf." And I was speechless. And he looked at me as I hesitated, and he goes, "What's the matter? You don't want to play golf with an old guy?" And we went out and played Latrobe Country Club, a day I'll never forget for the rest of my life. So it was really special.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff.
We've had a lot of other special times on Golf Talk Live, Alan. And being an old newspaper guy, to me it was always a great thrill to break news whenever we were able to do that. And during a visit to Concession, a special club in the Sarasota area, co-designed by Tony Jacklin and Jack Nicklaus, I got to meet one of their neighbors, Paul Azinger, Ryder Cup captain 2008. 2010 was the interview, and this was a very, very special interview with Azinger, who rewrote the book on how to captain a PGA championship and did actually do a book, and we talked with him in the Sarasota area.
To be asked to be the captain is a proud moment for sure. And, we were getting our butts kicked for years and years, and we lost 5 out of 6 matches, and we'd only won 3 times in 25 years. And, when I was asked to be the captain, it was a great opportunity, but, a massive challenge as well to try to figure out, what was wrong. To be the guy to maybe have the opportunity to fix what I perceived to be the problem, which for me, for the most part, was the way the team was being picked and selected. And I changed the whole selection process, which was, I think, the main reason we won the match. We had the hottest Americans there. I believe this last Ryder Cup where we lost, I still believe we had the hottest Americans there. even though on paper it didn't look like we should have a chance, I felt like we had a great chance here in 2010, even though we lost.
Well, that was Azinger talking about the pride of being a Ryder Cup captain, and he also talked about after his captaincy, 2010, when Corey Pavin was the captain. And this interview took place in the grill room at concession with a number of players I had brought down there on the trip, plus a few of the concession members. Their ears perked up when Azinger started talking about the fact that he thought they should have won again in 2010, and then he really dropped the bomb talking about Corey Pavin, the captain.
You don't volunteer information. You usually ask for the information. You know, if I'm walking up and down the driving range and giving guys tips on their golf swings, you know, or vice versa, they're giving them to me. You know, you kind of shine away from that a little bit. He never really called me until the very end, and it was way too late for him to, you know, me to tell him what I was doing. He wasn't interested in what I was doing. You know, the best analogy I heard about what happened here was, you know, when I was asked to be the captain, it was like comparing a car to being on blocks. You know, the car was on blocks. There's no tires on the car, no wheels on the car. And someone said, you put the wheels on the car and you got the engine running and the car was moving in the right direction. It just maybe, you know, he needed a tune-up. But it's not what happened, you know. I know he read the book. I think he did, but I sent him a book.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, that was the first time that I can honestly say that an interview on Golf Talk Live sparked national news, and that incident of him throwing Corey Pavin under the bus made a lot of stories across the country. Then another one came up years later, 2016, leading into the U.S. Women's Open at Trump Bedminster in New Jersey. We caught up with a former U.S. Women's Open champ, who's been on the show many times, Jan Stevenson, and she talked about that Open and her connections with Donald Trump.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about the U.S. Women's Open. As I said, this week coming up in Bedminster, New Jersey, the Trump Bedminster course. My sincere hope is that it's nothing but pure golf all weekend at the Senior PGA Championship at Trump National in Virginia. A few weeks ago, they had some demonstrations, and that was unfortunate, mainly because the demonstrators there were hurling insults and obscenities at some of the patrons and families and young kids walking in the gate. I can't stand that. I hope that does not happen this week at Trump Bedminster. It's a golf tournament. It should be all golf. One woman is going to have the greatest day of her life. So I'm on that one, and I know that I should tell our listeners right away that you happen to know President Trump pretty well and, you know, go back quite a way with him.
I do. I haven't spoken to him since he's been president. He's a little busy.
Right.
But, yes, we've known each other since 1975. I've known him a long time, and, you know, and he's a big supporter of golf.
Not only did she know him, she knew him very well. Let's go to that.
I guess in the vernacular of the time, would it be safe to say that back then, for a little while, you and Mr. Trump were actually an item, as they would say?
Yes, we were. I mean, he was, you know, he's always been a gentleman, and you know, it's actually, you look at a lot of these political things, and it's so funny because he was hit on when we would go anywhere. He was hit on by so many women and girls, and he was just so classy about it, and, you know, and he was always a gentleman. And if you really know him, and he has a very, very great sense of humor.
Well, there you have it, Jan Stevenson. She admitted, as it turned out after that, at one point, Donald Trump asked her to marry him, mm-hmm. and she turned him down. So that is the story. And that, again, made national news. A huge piece came out after that interview in Golf Digest, and they sort of detailed the love affair between Jan Stevenson and now President Donald Trump. Alan, it's nice to break news every once in a while.
Tony, I was going to say, as I'm sitting here listening to these pieces, You have everything from matchmaking to the Ryder Cup in one segment. That's impressive.
All right. Well, if you were impressed with that segment, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to close with some of the great laughs that have taken place over the years on Golf Talk Live, your number one golf radio show in America.
You only have one opportunity to sell your golf property. Shouldn't you partner with an expert that offers you 30-plus years of golf industry experience combined with the reach of a global leader in real estate? Colliers International Golf Brokerage and Advisory Services understands your unique business needs. Whether it is brokerage, management, and consulting, be reassured that the market leader in the business of golf is providing you the real answers and practical solutions you deserve. Contact Golf Talk Live co-host and Colliers Golf Advisory Services member Alan DePew today at 717-554-8519. That's 717-554-8519.
Hey, this is Darius Rucker. You listen to Golf Talk Live.
Thank you, Darius Rucker. And yeah, we are back in the studio recapping some of the great interviews, a few hijinks, a few laughs, and here we are for the final segment of the show. And it's all about some of the great laughs over the years for Golf Talk Live. Tony?
A lot of laughs, and they sort of came about sometimes. We did a feature for through the years called Tony's 10 Questions, where I rapid fire would hit a celebrity with 10 questions, some about golf, some about other things. And we did this with Jim Furyk, Charlie Reimer, different people, Natalie Gulbis. This time we did it with another great looker and great player from the LPGA Tour, Paula Cramer, and did it on stage at the PGA merchandise show in front of a huge crowd. So you know that this could be a little bit tense, but Paula Cramer was so charming, and she just made us laugh with some of her comments when we did 10 questions with Paula Cramer.
You picked one of the hardest in the world to win your U.S. Women's Open at Oakmont. Where does that stand on your hardest courses ever?
Probably number one. I haven't been back since to play it, and you know, my coach and I were just talking about it the other day, and I'm like, you know, I don't really know if I ever want to go back and play it again. I had 4 great days there, and I liked finishing under par. I think if I went out now, I'd be like, how did I do that? You know?
One and done there for sure. There's a lot of people in this room nodding because that is a torture.
That was the hardest golf course I've ever played.
Okay, first car you ever owned?
That I bought myself was a BMW, an M6.
Boy, where do you go from there?
I was 20. I already was 2 years out on tour, and I was driving my dad and mom's Expedition around for 2 years, and I was like, that's it. I'm getting a car. I'm 20. I'm doing it.
For those who want to know, my first was a 1960 Ford Falcon. That one day the whole bottom.
What is that? No, I'm just kidding.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
There's the generation gap. 1964 Falcon. What is that? Well, you can imagine that those 10 question segments were very entertaining, but none more entertaining than probably the most infamous interview ever, Tony's 10 Questions with John Daly. Let me set the stage. Fuzzy Zeller invited people out for the launch of his new Fuzzy's Ultra Premium Vodka to his golf course in Indiana. And it was a weekend-long party. And the capper on Monday was a game of Wolf between him, Boo Weekly, Rocco Mediate, and John Daly. They played. They made everybody laugh the entire time. And then after we went into Fuzzy's office, I was supposed to do a Tony's 10 Questions with John Daly, and then we waited, and I was waiting for the guys to leave, and finally Daly looks at me and goes, when the heck are we going to do this? I said, well, I was waiting for these guys to leave. And Fuzzy says, no, we'll stay. We'll be good. We promise we'll be good. Well, I then asked the questions of Daly, and this one stopped the show.
Okay, how about number seven? If you had not entered the world of golf, what do you think you'd be doing for a job right now?
I'd probably be in porn.
No, honestly.
I'd probably be in porn.
Right. What can I say? You got to do what you're good at.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, that was the...
From that, this is an easy segue into this question. Number nine, if you could spend 1 week in another position, what... let's pick a different... Wait a second. I got to pick a different term for that. Run back. If you could spend 1 week in another job...
Well, we remembered that interview forever. You heard the laughter in there from Boo Weekly and Rocco Media and Fuzzy. What you didn't know is that Rocco Media was listening to that interview, sitting on one of those rubber balance balls. He laughed so hard he fell backwards into the bookcase, and all of the books fell on top of him. He was lucky he didn't get hurt. But we were laughing as much at that as we did at Bailey's comments. And that's some of the fun that we've had and some of the laughs we've had over the years, Alan. And they continue. That's all.
Tony, that's as funny as being down in Myrtle Beach with you and listening to Charlie Reimer this year with his underwear model.
That's right.
Two
under. Yeah, he said he would be an underwear model. You're right. Great times.
Great times indeed. And Tony, we're gonna hope to continue those great times, as we've said at the onset of the show, moving away from the radio, moving on to our podcast channels. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google, TuneIn, radio.com. I feel like I can keep going.
iHeart, YouTube, Alexa, Peter.
But we're gonna continue some of those great interviews, taking you to some great destinations. And hopefully we'll have a few laughs along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to be doing two podcasts a week. And I guess the first one will sort of recap the action from the previous weekend. And then the second one will be a lot more like our regular shows, when we talk about everything from the business of golf to the personalities to the issues, all of those things.
Absolutely. And Walt's giving me the sign behind the glass, Tony. Looks like we have 2 minutes left. So we're coming to we're putting out on 18.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to, you know what? I give you the stage, sir.
Well, this is the end of an era, but the beginning of a new one. And, you know, as they say, when one door closes, another opens. We hope that things continue. Special thanks to everybody at 990 The Answer over these years, who have made these shows great, from Eddie to Walt Cooper to Doug Shaw, who does all of our production work during the week as we get things. For many years, Joe Harnett did those producing duties. He retired a year ago, and we thank him for everything, everybody behind the scenes. And then also a special shout out to our friends at WOND, most importantly, the producer down there, Stu Abrams, who's been with us from the beginning and was an absolute pleasure to work with all those years. So that's, you know, a multitude of memories, and they're not going to end. They're just going to be on a different platform as we go further here. And Alan, I thank you and Andrew, your son, for taking us into that new frontier.
It will be fun. It will be exciting. And as we wind down, Eddie, we've got about 15 seconds left. Any thoughts?
No, just thanks very much, everybody. Tony, Alan, love it. I'm excited for the future.
And thanks for the memories, as Bob Hope would always say. Thanks for the Golf Talk Live memories now.
Thank you so much.